carry guns because they feared riots. That is the point that this was already at months ago.
Amid the border crisis, searing images surfacing today showing what detention facilities look like through the eyes of the kids who are kept there. A social worker obtaining pictures drawn by a 10 and 11-year-old children recently released from Border Patrol custody. This picture showing kids in cages, lying under blankets, without beds. Another showing kids in a cage with sad faces as people with what appear to be guns standing nearby. So kids in cages with guns standing nearby. This is what these kids are drawing. A third drawing showing an empty cell with two toilets. And then Donald Trump tweeting late today this: if illegal immigrants are unhappy with the conditions in the quickly built or refitted detention centers, just tell them not to come.
Got new reporting from NBC News detailing how migrant children held in a border station in Yuma, Arizona, not only told government investigators about unsanitary conditions, but also sexual assault and retaliation by border agents.
The preceding show was recorded at Wave Farms WGXC in the Hudson Valley in New York State.
Here's 2017 new release from Chris Forsythe and the Solar Motel Band, the title song from Dreaming in the Non-Dream.
was Avril 14th from Aphex Twin. And this is Blackface from Tim Hecker.
Janet McKean from Caro, and you're listening to WGXC Acre 90.7 FM, hands-on radio.
Hi, this is Michael Wilde inviting you to Mostly Singles. And if you like what you're hearing, you'll love this show. Rarefied music, premieres, and guests. It's different every time. And a podcast, too. Go to WGXC.org. Mostly Singles, every fourth Tuesday at 8 to 10 p.m. on WGXC 90.7 FM.
WGXC WGXC underwriting support is provided by Mid-Hudson Cable, serving Columbia, Greene, and Southern Albany counties with digital cable, high-speed internet, and cable phone services for homes and businesses since 1971. Mid-Hudson Cable, all the right connections on the web at mhcable.com.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Jane Scarpolino of New Haven, Connecticut. Sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about Creative Community Radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a WGXC sustaining supporter by investing in community radio every month. Go to wgxc.org and click donate. Thank you for your support.
WGXC helps you sleep at night and stay awake in the daytime. Whether at work or play, in good times and in bad, no matter the weather, community radio brings you local news, agricultural information, music and sounds, oratory, and radio stews.
90.7 FM, WGXC.
Ticker tape ain't spaghetti. U.S. women's soccer and equal pay. I'm Amy Goodman, host of Democracy Now! With Dennis Moynihan in our weekly Breaking the Sound Barrier podcast. Champagne corks were popping in Lower Manhattan Wednesday, not only for the victorious United States women's national soccer team as they were feted with a ticker tape parade up New York City's Canyon of Heroes on Broadway, passing Wall Street, where the S&P 500 stock index crested 3,000 for the first time in history. The 23 women of the soccer team had just returned from winning the World Cup in France. Back in the United States, they'll continue another more difficult battle for pay and working conditions equal to those of their male counterparts in the U.S. Soccer Federation. A sign held during the parade by team member Crystal Dunn, an African-American player from Rockville Center on Long Island, read, "Parades are cool. Equal pay is cooler." The crowd echoed the sentiment as Carlos Cordero, the head of the U.S. Soccer Federation, spoke at the rally that followed the parade. The crowd chanted, "Equal pay, equal pay." It was the same chorus that reverberated throughout the Leon Stadium when the women became world champions last Sunday. The success of Wall Street, juxtaposed with the pay inequality imposed on these remarkable women, recalled the statement made by one of New York City's most famous mayors, Fiorella LaGuardia, in 1946. "Ticker tape ain't spaghetti," he said. LaGuardia had just taken the reins of the United Nations Relief and Rehabilitation Administration, providing aid to refugees and others struggling to survive in the immediate aftermath of World War II. Paper ticker tape was ubiquitous in those pre-digital days as the means by which real-time stock prices were distributed. Hence, vast quantities of used ticker tape in New York's financial district was repurposed as confetti to rain on returning soldiers, astronauts, and victorious athletic teams since the first ticker tape parade in 1886, celebrating the new Statue of Liberty. LaGuardia's point was simple. While the post-war economy may have been booming and those invested in the stock market were doing great, it didn't translate into food security for war refugees. Likewise, today, a parade celebrating women athletes is an honor, but it doesn't make up for a lifetime of unequal pay. The women's team filed a lawsuit last March accusing the U.S. Soccer Federation of paying them less than members of the MNT, that's the men's national team, for substantially equal work and by denying them at least equal playing, training, and travel conditions, equal promotion of their games, equal support and development for their games. The U.S. women's team has won 4 World Cup titles, 4 Olympic gold medals, has won many other tournaments, and is ranked by FIFA as the number one team in its women's world rankings. Compare that with the dismal record of the U.S. men's national team, which didn't even qualify for the most recent World Cup. Despite their lackluster performance, the men earn far more on average than the women. This disparity is common throughout the U.S. economy. Testifying before Congress last February in support of the Paycheck Fairness Act, that's H.R. 7, equal pay for equal work, Fatima Goss Graves, president and CEO of the National Women's Law Center, laid out the disturbing details. Women working full-time year-round typically are paid only 80 cents for every dollar paid to men working full-time year-round. The wage gap is even worse when looking specifically at women of color. For every dollar paid to white non-Hispanic men, black women are paid only 61 cents, Native women 58 cents, and Latinas 53 cents, she added. Women, and especially women of color, face overt discrimination and unconscious biases in the workplace which impact pay. The U.S. women's soccer players now have a global platform to highlight the struggle for women's pay equality and justice. As co-captain Megan Rapinoe said Wednesday,
"Yes, we play sports. Yes, we play soccer. Yes, we're female athletes, but we're so much more than that."
Rapinoe, the World Cup's top scorer and best player, is an outspoken advocate for LGBTQ rights, and in 2016 became one of the first major white athletes to take a knee during the national anthem. Throughout the World Cup, she refused to place her hand over her heart or to sing the words of the Star Spangled Banner. At the City Hall rally Wednesday, where the New York mayor presented the team with the keys to the city, Megan Rapinoe issued a call to action to the crowd.
"We have pink hair and purple hair. We have tattoos and dreadlocks. We got white girls and black girls and everything in between. Straight girls and gay girls. Hey, we have to be better. We have to love more, hate less. We got to listen more and talk less. We got to know that this is everybody's responsibility. Every single person here. Every single person who's not here. Every single person who doesn't want to be here. Every single person who agrees and doesn't agree. It's our responsibility to make this world a better place."
I'm Amy Goodman with Dennis Moynihan.
We're talking with Mert Simpson, who's co-chair of SHARE, the group that's been working to stop having a frack gas plant at Sheridan Avenue and move towards a more renewable energy system to heat the Empire State Plaza and the state capitol. And they presented a report from a scientific committee today. Mert, what was the summary point you were making with the study?
That since August of 2017, we've done diligent research into alternatives to fossil fuels. And what we've discovered is that it's more than feasible to do something with things like alternative load sharing, geothermal energy, and, you know, supplemented by solar, hydro and other things from the macro grid. But when we first started, New York State government said they had looked at all the alternatives and found them to be wanting. When we did a Freedom of Information request and asked them for what the data was that led them to that conclusion, they came back saying that we have no information responsive to this request. So basically, they were just bluffing. With climate change on the presidential agenda, we think that it's an opportunity for us to put a spotlight on the need for saving our planet. You know, the global scientists have said we've got a 12-year window before the Earth becomes, you know, unlivable, and we have to think about our grandchildren. We're a little concerned that we've had continual dialogue with the New York Power Authority, OGS, and NYSERDA, and we feel that they should be moving much more expeditiously based on us as non-professionals being able to discover what we have that actually exists, which is transferable to here, and the fact that the experts in the government are kind of languishing and not moving expeditiously. So our plea now, based on the documentation that we're presenting in this report, is that do the right thing.
Now, in this year's state budget, the legislature and the governor agreed that this facility should, in fact, be done with 100% renewable energy to the extent that that's practical. What has sort of NYPA's response, New York Power Authority response, been to this direction provided in the state budget?
Well, we really haven't had any robust feedback from them. Actually, we're requesting an audience with them. We know that they've met with other community groups. They've met with us in the past, but we haven't met with them in over a year to discuss this, and so we're a little bit concerned about that. I mean, again, we've been able to stop them from the initial proposal that they wanted to have online by probably the middle of 2018. But just not going forward is not good enough. What we need to do is use those dollars to initiate a process to make New York State a model for sustainability for the whole nation.
Now, you're a county legislator who represents the Sheridan Avenue, Arbor Hill area.
Yes.
What are some of the concerns about pollution or other impacts that local residents and yourself have about this facility?
Well, there's a really disturbing history about people who live very close to the plant having disproportionate statistical incidence of cancer. You know, my own sister-in-law died from multiple myeloma, which we, you know, have a strong reason to believe was directly initiated by access to the toxins that came out of the plant that's been running since 1911. But the number of families with, you know, terminal cancer in proximity to that plant is statistically off the scale. And of course, you know, when you come to litigation, there's always an argument about whether the evidence you see is really, you know, viable. Like, it's mysterious to us that the governor, as astute that we know he is, why he doesn't understand, just from a pure economic point of view, that green energy is the energy of the future. You know, Donald Trump talks about restoring the coal industry. That's a pipe dream. That's not going to happen. But for New York State, the Empire State Plaza, to have its capital fueled with archaic, you know, fossil fuels is just not acceptable in the 21st century.
Now, one of the issues that has come up is that right now and in the future, they have a backup generator system in case of emergencies. Do you want that to be replaced? Do you want the state to move on that now? What's the issue with the backup generator issue?
Well, they need to get rid of the backup generators because they're obsolete, they're archaic, and actually they don't need to be located where they are. But in terms of this new project, we don't mind them having backup generators because the probability is strong that they'll never be used. I mean, there are generators in Manhattan in St. Patrick's Cathedral that they've never had to use because of the efficiency of geothermal. So we think just the robustness of the energy grid in Albany, we really would probably never have to use those. But if, as a negotiating, you know, principle, we say they can have some updated generators and preferably not in that location, we seat them that as long as they move in the right direction with the knowledge that the probability of them actually being used would be minimal.
Thank you, Mert Simpson. Next, we talk with Keith Hsu, who is one of the co-chairs of the Shear Science Committee and one of the authors, along with Dave Musser, of this report. Keith, what were some of the key points in this report you've given to the governor's people?
Well, I think our report does a good job of identifying the outstanding opportunities that there are for renewables, both for electricity as well as for geothermal technology. One of the things that we do is we take a close look at what NYPA has proposed, which is their CHP proposal.
CHP is combined heat and power?
Combined heat and power. Basically, it means you're burning fossil fuels for electricity and you're burning fossil fuels for heat. And there was a time in the past where that might have been an efficiency improvement. That's not the case anymore today. Today we have technology that can dramatically reduce greenhouse gas emissions. We can get off of fossil fuels for heating. We don't need to do combustion heating anymore. The plant that exists today is using combustion heat for both heating the Empire State Plaza as well as for running centrifugal chillers to create cooling, which means that you have combustion heating going on throughout the year in Sheridan Hollow. You don't need to do it that way. With modern geothermal technology, you can use, whether it's a ground source or river source, heat sink and heat source, you can use geothermal technology to solve this problem without combustion.
And I understand that because this is a steam facility, it actually, for more than a century, has already been taking water out of the Hudson River. So this is not really a new use of the Hudson River water. It's a different use. That's what you're proposing.
That's correct. I mean, there actually are pipes already that bring water in from the Hudson. That water is used as part of the condensing of the cycle for the steam. It's also used as a heat sink for their air conditioning plant, their central air conditioning plant. What we're proposing is to pull out those very ancient centrifugal chillers that are operated by steam, which turns the compressors within those chillers, to pull that stuff out and to replace it with modern heat pump, which basically can use the river or ground source wells for either for heat extraction or heat transfer. Basically, we can create heat for the Empire State Plaza or cooling for the Empire State Plaza with modern geothermal.
Now we have 90 seconds left. One of the other issues in terms of electricity, the state apparently has been saying, oh, well, we can't put enough solar panels on roofs in downtown Albany to really meet the needs we're trying to do. What's been Scheer's response to that?
Well, no kidding. I mean, we've known all along that you're going to be limited if you're just putting your solar panels in the downtown area. It's an urban area. You can't squeeze enough solar powers to run the Empire State Plaza with solar downtown. But that's you don't need to. The thing is, if you have a robust macro grid and you stay connected to that robust macro grid, then you have lots of room in the surrounding area around Albany and elsewhere to bring in electricity from renewables, whether it's hydropower or large-scale solar farms or wind farms, to power the plaza with renewables. And what that means is then, in terms of the microgrid, is like Mert was saying, is that for normal operations, 99.99999% of the time, you're going to be in a situation where you have the electricity you need from renewable sources that are on the outside grid. In the rare times when the outside grid goes down and you have to rely on a local generation, then that's maybe where your backup diesels kick in.
So if people want to get a copy of this report, Dave, how can they do so?
Look on sharealbany.org. It will be posted there later today.
Thank you very much, Kishu, Dave Musser, and Mert Simpson. This is Mark Dunley for the Hudson Mohawk Radio Network.
Here's Pierre Henry with Psych Rock, the track that inspired the Futurama theme song on television.
dreams of passion and all the while I think of you. A very strange reaction. The more I see, the more I do. Baby,
tell your body to come along, but white lies blow away.
Blow, rockin', blow. Ticket to ride. White line highway, tell all your friends they can go my way, pay your toll, sell your soul, pound for pound, cost more than gold. The longer you stay, the more you pay. My white lines go a long way, either up your nose or through your vein, with nothing to gain except killing your brain.
White Lines from Grandmaster Flash, and before that, the song that's it sampled, Liquid Liquid's Cavern.
Kamba foli ayami kadombe. Salvatore, ai America Conte. Vai Kayala, vai Kayala, vai Kayala, Kahita Yoto. Vai Kayala, vai Kayala, vai Kayala. Sumana yo yaga borito, sumana yo yaga debeka. Waya Maria, ora amongo. Waya Maria, ora jille. Shirinde shirinde, farande farang. Yaga borita, yaga sorhoka, yaga dameka. Wakaka dehora, ay hora yeno. Wakaka dehora, ay hora yeno. Benenda hori, gandanda hori, ay hora yeno. Aiku, 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 aiku. Sunguru nyuma ayamini kadombe, gawo gawo ayamini kadombe, salalori ayamini kadombe, takamba fodi ayamini kadombe. Bayi kayala, bayi kayala, bayi kayala, bayi kayala. Vai kayala, vai kayala, jahi nahi doto.
Sid Turay with Ahoro My Dance, or My Dance, from his